Support for Here and Now comes from BetterHelp, committed to supporting mental health through therapy. Clients are matched with one of 25,000 therapists and can communicate via video, chat, or phone at betterhelp.com/public.
College protesters want their schools to pull money out of companies that are helping Israel fight its war against Hamas. Some of the divestment targets are American defense and industrial companies, Lockheed Martin, Boeing, General Dynamics, Caterpillar. The question is whether these actions would actually have an impact. Wall Street Journal columnist James McIntosh says no. He's written about this and he joins us now. James, hello.
Hi, nice to be with you.
For the sake of argument, let's say the universities with the biggest endowments sell off all their investments in companies identified as helping Israel in this war, and the protesters get what they want. Financially, does this hurt Israel's war effort?
I don't think so, no. In fact, I think it would have negligible impact on the war effort. Say one of the big companies that they want to divest from, Microsoft, mm-hmm. is on their list. You're very keen to sell. If you did that on a grand enough scale, you could move the share price of Microsoft by quite a lot. But you'd have to really have a lot of Microsoft shares to sell if you were going to do that. This is a multi-trillion dollar company. The endowments are big, but they're not that big, and they're pretty well diversified. So it's not like they're going to be selling hundreds and hundreds of billions of dollars worth of Microsoft shares. But if they did, of course, they'd have to sell them at an even bigger discount. So every dollar that the share price falls, another dollar that the endowment is losing, Microsoft, is it going to change its business model in order to try to avoid the endowment selling when it knows that they're doing it because they're being pushed by undergraduates? Well, conceivable, right? It could do. I think it's highly unlikely because it would be going against White House policy. It would be going, obviously, against Israel, and it would presumably lose its entire business in Israel forever because no one in Israel would ever sign a contract with them again. There's a further effect. Obviously, the companies most involved in what's going on are the arms manufacturers. But the arms manufacturers, the aid to Israel goes from the US government. The US government pays for it, giving weapons to Israel. And those weapons are going to continue to be given to Israel. That's not a decision that the companies could make. I mean, if Lockheed Martin turned around and said, no, we're not going to sell missiles or components or repairs or jets to Israel, the US government would not be happy, to put it mildly. This is a major military supplier. It entirely depends on the US government. So it doesn't matter what you do to their shares. It doesn't make any difference. It's not going to affect that.
James, this, of course, has been tried before. Big endowments, including sovereign wealth funds, lots of money, have tried to pull their money out of fossil fuels, out of tobacco companies. What do we know about the track record in those efforts?
So coal is the most interesting thing to look at here. Lots of endowments, lots of the big universities ban investment in any company that has any significant coal production. Lots of mutual funds do as well. It's not that they stopped coal companies from investing. It's that they sold their coal shares to somebody else. The coal company carried on. It's conceivable the share price might have gone down a little bit. But the overall impact is coal shares are up since the start of 2020, about 180%. Whereas the market as a whole is up about 50%. So they've wildly outperformed. Now, they've outperformed because Russia invaded Ukraine, energy prices went through the roof, so lots more people wanted to buy coal. But that just tells you, if you want to stop coal production, you obviously need to stop coal demand, not sell shares in coal companies to someone else. That isn't going to do the trick.
The other example that many tried out, of course, is the efforts to divest from companies doing business in South Africa in the 70s and 80s. To pressure the then apartheid regime. This was part of a global isolation effort, and the U.S. Congress in 1986 did pass a sanctions bill into law, and that government, of course, we know, eventually fell. Can you argue that that campaign arguably worked, at least to elevate the issue to policymakers?
Well, it's an interesting question around the politics of it, which is obviously distinct. So far, we've only talked about the finance. When you think about the apartheid regime in South Africa, it was globally isolated. It had been cut off from major sporting events. It was excluded from the Olympics for I think 3 decades before the regime eventually fell, was excluded from all academic exchanges, and many, many companies wouldn't sell anything to South Africa, and there was a widespread boycott of its products. There was a serious impact happening on its economy. I think the refusal to invest in South Africa was really a very small part of that. It was a part of it, but it was a very small part of it. It was a much broader movement to isolate South Africa.
James McIntosh is senior markets columnist at the Wall Street Journal. We've been talking to him about these divestment debates. James, thanks very much.
Thanks, Scott.